हरे कृष्ण जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरावन छारी। जमुना तीरावन चारी। जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन छारी। जमुना तीरावन छारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद। जयो जय गुरुदेव गुरुदेव जय गुरुदेव। नीताय गौर हरिबो 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 गौर Grantrachimadbhagavatam ki Shri Harinam Sankirtana ki jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraye Nashtapravayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Ruttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naistuki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 1. I'm sorry, Canto 1, Chapter 9. Chapter is entitled The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev. Text number 7.
Bharvato Narado Dhamyo Bhagavan Badarayanaha Brihadvasho Bharadvajaha Sasishyo Renuka Sutaha Bharvato Narado Dhamyo Brihadvasho Bharadvaja Bhagavan Badarayanaha Brihadvasho Bharadvajaha Sasishyo Renuka Sutaha Parvato Narado Dhamyo Bhagavan Badarayanaha Brihadashvo Bharadvajaha Sasishyo Venuka Sutaha.
Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: all the sages like Parvat Muni, Narad Muni, Daumya, Vyasa, the incarnation of God, Brihadashva, Bharadvaj, and Parashuram, and disciples, Vasishta, Indrapramada, Trita, Grishta Mada, Asita, Kakshivan, Gautam, Atri, Kaushik and Sudarshan were present. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. We'll continue from where the purport was left yesterday. Atri. Atri Muni was a great Brahmana sage and was one of the mental sons of Brahmaji. Brahmaji is so powerful that simply by thinking of the sun, he can have it. These sons are known as Manasaputras. Out of 7 Manasaputras of Brahmaji and out of the 7 great Brahmana sages, Atri was one. In his family, the great Prachetas were also born. Atri Muni had 2 Kshatriya sons who became kings. King Arthama is one of them. He is counted as one of the 21 Prajapatis. His wife's name was Anasuya, and he helped Maharaj Parikshit in his great sacrifices. Kaushik, one of the permanent Rishi members in the Royal Assembly of Maharaj Yudhishthir, he sometimes met Lord Krishna. There are several other sages of the same name. Sudarshan, this wheel which is accepted by the personality of Godhead, Vishnu or Krishna, as his personal weapon, is the most powerful weapon, greater than Brahmastra or similar other disastrous weapons. In some of the Vedic literatures, it is said that Agnidev, the fire god, presented this weapon to Lord Krishna, Lord Shri Krishna. But factually, this weapon is eternally carried by the Lord. Agnidev presented this weapon to Krishna in the same way that Rukmini was given by Maharaj Rukma to the Lord. The Lord accepts such presentations from his devotees, even though such presentations are eternally his property. There is an elaborate description of this weapon in the Adi Parva of the Mahabharata. Lord Sri Krishna used this weapon to kill Shishupal, the rival of the Lord. He also killed Shalva by this weapon. And sometimes he wanted his friend Arjuna to use it to kill his enemies. Mahabharata Virata Parva 56.3. Om Ajnana Dimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadameyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vande Aham Shri Guru Shri Yudha Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadutam parijana sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanja Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mugam Garodi Vachalam, Pangum Langayati Girim Yatripadamaham Vande, Shri Gurum Dinatarinam, Shri Chaitanya Mishwaram, Paramananda Madhavam. Hare Krishna. Translation once again. All the sages like Parvat Muni, Narad, Dhaumya, Vyas, the incarnation of God, Brihadashva, Bharadvaja and Parshuram and his disciples, Vasishta, Indraprahmada, Tvita, Grishtamada, Asita, Kukshivan, Gautam, Atri, Kaushika and Sudarshan were present. Hare Krishna, seek the blessings of all the devotees. Can speak something worthwhile for the pleasure of all the devotees and for my personal purification. So, we are discussing one of the very, very interesting and important incidents in the Srimad Bhagavatam where Bhishma Dev is about to depart from this material world after living in this world for 456 years. And the most awaited moment, the highlight of his life, is about to manifest in the form of Lord Krishna, when Lord Krishna will personally appear in front of Bhishma Dev while he departs from this world. So Lord Krishna is all attractive. Everything and every person that attracts us in this world is nothing but a spark of Krishna's splendor, as Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yad Yad Vibhuti Mat Sattvam Srimat Urjitam Evava Tat Tat Eva Vagachatvam Mama Tejo Amsha Sambhava. So Krishna is all attractive. What can really attract Krishna? If a person has a very high-end expensive car with the best innovative and advanced technology present in that car, now, why would that person really get impressed by something which is of less expensive, something which is a less expensive car? That less expensive car will not really mean to him. Probably that person won't really get impressed by that car. Or a person who has millions of dollars in a bank account, why will that person compare, you know, his bank account balance with someone who has a very meager bank balance in a very small bank account? Similarly, Krishna, who has got best of everything, doesn't really need anything, and nothing of this material world can really impress or attract Krishna. So yes, Krishna attracts everything or everyone in this world, as the name suggests, Sarva Akarshayati Iti Krishna. Krishna is all attractive. So Krishna can attract everyone, but the most important thing is nothing can catch Krishna's attention so easily. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is explained that Krishna's beauty is so attractive. Krishnera madhura rupa suno sanatana ei rupera eka kana dubai sabatribhuvana sarva prani kare akarshana. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining this to Sanatana Goswami, and he is saying, my dear Sanatana, the beauty of Lord Krishna is so great that even a spark, ei rupera eka kana, one kana, one fraction of Krishna's beauty can drown practically entire three worlds in the ocean of love. So if a fraction can do enough, then we can understand what must be Krishna's beauty in total. So if Krishna is so attractive, what can really attract Krishna? The best of the beauty, power, knowledge, fame, wealth, renunciation cannot stand in front of Krishna. But scripture explains that although nothing can catch Krishna's attention, but one thing really catches Krishna's attention, and that is bhakti. As Rupa Goswami says, one of the six characteristics of bhakti is Shri Krishna Akarshini. No, it attracts even Lord Krishna. Vyadasya charanam dhruvasya chavayo vidya gajendrasya ka kubjanam kimanam rupamadikam kimtat sudam nodhanam vamshakko vidurasya yadavapate ugrasya kim paurusham bhaktya tushyati kevalam natujanai bhakti priyam madhava. The only thing that really pleases, touches, attracts Krishna's heart is bhakti. Bhaktya tushyati kevalam natu janai bhakti priya madhavah. So Krishna is like that magnet which attracts all the living entities who are like that iron filings. But when that iron filing, the living entity who are like that iron filing, when the living entity's heart is filled with love for Krishna, then Krishna gets attracted towards that iron filings. Generally, we see that magnet doesn't get attracted to the iron filings, but it's the iron filings who get attracted to the magnet. But here, the In this episode that we are about to witness, we will see how Krishna, who is all attractive, who is like a magnet, who is the all magnetic personality, is getting drawn towards the heart of a devotee like Bhishma Dev, which is filled, which is pouring out unlimited devotion unto him. And this is one of the fears of devotees, that devotee have this doubt whether I will be able to remember Krishna when I leave this body. But this incident that we are about to witness here in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam is actually speaking about a classic case study of a devotee who is in his final moments, not able to move. Probably he is just bedridden and in the middle of an excruciating pain. Of course, Bhishma Dev could witness the presence of Lord Krishna personally. In the life of a devotee may also be in that same similar situation. And a devotee may get this doubt whether Krishna will really come to rescue me. Krishna will come, you know, to offer his mercy to me. So, here is a classic case in the Bhagavatam which proves beyond doubt that no matter what, no, a devotee may be in any situation while he or she is about to depart from this world, Lord will for sure certainly come to offer his mercy to the devotee. And this is what Krishna has even promised. So a devotee should not have even an iota of doubt whether Krishna will keep his promise or not. In fact, Lord even promises in Varaha Puran, where he says that when someone surrenders to me completely, and that devotee has no one else except me as the shelter, then I personally think of that devotee when that devotee is about to depart from this world. Even if a devotee may not be in the position to remember me, but I will remember that devotee and I will rush to his side, even if that devotee has no control over his senses. So this is the promise that Lord has given to us. So devotee should not have any doubt whether Krishna will appear in front of me, whether Krishna will manifest, no, when I need him the most. The only thing is we should have bhakti within our heart. Then the magnet will get attracted, you know, even to the iron filing. So this is the question that a devotee must ask himself or herself. Whether I am making enough effort in my life to develop that attraction for Krishna. Rather than thinking of the progress, whether I am advanced, whether I am not advanced, where am I, where do I stand in spiritual life. Rather than thinking of that, a devotee should focus more on the process that will help us develop that attraction for Krishna. So when we focus more on the process, the progress is guaranteed. So a diligent practice of devotional service guarantees definite progress. And if we do not have that heart right now filled with bhakti, then Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Sadhu Sangas Namakirtan Bhagavat Shravan Mathuravasa Srimurti Re Shraddhaya Sevan Sakala Sadhana Sreshta E Pancha Anga Krishna Prema Janmaya E Panchera Alpasanga. Coming in contact with one of these five angas of bhakti,
will help one develop Krishna prema eventually, sooner or later, in due course of time. So we have to focus more on the process than on the progress. Rather than thinking, no, am I advancing or not? Or whether I am developing nistha, bhav, asakti, ruchi or not. What is important is a consistent practice on the side, on the part of a sadhaka, will truly ensure success on this path. So, when a child is told by mother that, beta, if you drink milk along with Horlicks or Bonvita or a Complan, then automatically your muscles will grow. Now, a child initially may believe in mother, what mother is saying, and child may start drinking milk. But at the same time, after a few occasions, a child also starts looking at his muscles, whether the muscles have built or not. But then when the child sees that the muscles are not growing, then the child says, what are you saying, mama? It doesn't make sense. No, you told me to keep drinking milk, but then it's not resulting in the growth of my muscles. My biceps are not growing. But then the mother says, beta, you continue drinking milk and the result will be experienced in due course of time. So, a child, if continues to follow the process of drinking that milk on a regular basis, then in due course of time, the child will see the result. But if the child becomes impatient, similarly, if the devotee becomes impatient, and rather than focusing on the process of practicing devotional service, if the devotee is just thinking on the progress aspect, then probably a devotee may lose patience and may even give up the process. So the diligent practice of the process will ensure definite progress on the path of spirituality. I read somewhere that if you have a magnetic personality, but if people don't get attracted to you, then it's not your fault. It's just that people lack iron deficiency within them. Of course, we are not here to attract, even if we have a magnetic personality, we are not here to attract anyone around us. We are here to attract the attention of all attractive. And at the same time, whatever is possible within our capacity, we can also help others get attracted to the all magnetic personality Krishna. So yes, Krishna is like a magnet. Krishna is all attractive. But if the living entity who is like an iron filings does not get attracted to Krishna, then it's not Krishna's fault. It's just that the iron filings are rusted. It's just that the living entity is covered with so many anarthas, layers and layers of contamination, which probably stops the soul, stops the living entity to get attracted to Krishna spontaneously. So more we focus on cleansing aspect, more we focus on cleansing our heart, automatically that attraction will occur. Srimad Bhagavatam 7th Canto explains, Yatha brahmayati ayo brahman swayam akarsha sannido tatha me vidyate chetas chakrapaner yadrichaya. This verse is spoken by Prahlad Maharaj, and he's saying, just as the iron filings get attracted to the magnet, similarly my consciousness is automatically getting attracted towards that magnetic personality like Krishna. I am just so helpless. So And that's the same mood we will see the prayers of Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev is aspiring. No, Vijaya Sakhe Ratir Mer Astu Anavadya. Or the same theme was echoed by Kunti Devi, where Kunti Devi is saying, Twai me ananya vishaya mati madupate sakrit. Ratir udvatam adda gange ogam udanvati. Let my heart be spontaneously, no, get attracted to you, my Lord. Just as the Ganges, no, gets, flows towards the ocean in spite, irrespective of so many hindrances that comes on its way. So, here we see in the case of Bhishma Dev, no, iron filings. When an insignificant iron filing comes in contact with a magnet for a long time, when an iron filing comes in contact with the magnetic field for a long time, even an iron filing develops a magnetic quality. Similarly, because Bhishma Dev, unknown to the world, Bhishma Dev was constantly in connection with Krishna internally, Bhishma Dev also, like that iron filings, developed the magnetic quality where he is able to attract the greatest of the personalities from all across the globe. The who's who are actually getting driven. They are actually drawn towards, you know, the personality like Bhishma Dev. So this is the secret of, you know, having a magnetic personality. Of course, we are not here to, you know, as I said before, but the simple secret is one who becomes a devotee of the Lord doesn't have to make a separate endeavor to become a magnetic personality. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatir kinchana sarver gune tatra samasate sura haror bhaktasya kuto mahat guna manorathena asato dhavato bahir. So if one has this, one develops this one quality of attract, devotion unto Lord Krishna, then all other divine qualities automatically manifest. One doesn't have to make a separate endeavor. And yes, the beauty, the external beauty may attract the people of this world. The power may attract us. But it attracts us for a very short time. External beauty attracts. But the external beauty being skin deep will attract us for a very short time. But the internal beautiful quality that a person possesses will continue to attract somebody or someone in a long run. So it's not the external that truly will make a magnetic personality. But it's the divine qualities within someone which will not only attract, you know, people's attention of this world, but it will attract the all-attractive, the all-magnetic personality, Krishna. And that's what Krishna is also telling, that someone who possesses these divine qualities, soaked in devotion, is very dear to me. In the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is openly declaring to the whole world who is dear to him. And who is dear to Krishna? In the 12th chapter of Bhakti Yoga, Krishna is telling someone who is wearing a very kadat, starch, dhoti, you know, with a tilak and a kanti mala. He is the one who is dear to me, or someone who is wearing a brand new cotton sari is the one, or someone who uses a very fancy bead bag for chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He is the one who is so dear to me. No, of course, there's nothing wrong. No, someone may have wealth, assets, a fancy bead bag or a cotton sari or a starched dhoti, nothing wrong in that. But what truly attracts Krishna, what truly makes a devotee dear to Krishna, are the qualities that are present within the heart of a devotee. Asdvesta sarva bhutana maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankara samad dukha shukha shami santushtam satatam yogi yatatma dhrida nishchaya mayyarpita manobuddhi mame vaishyasya samshaya. So this is something that will truly attract Krishna and not the externals. Yes, the externals may attract the people of this world, but what will truly attract Krishna is the divine qualities that one possesses within one heart. And this is what is drawing, this is what is the reason where Krishna is running towards Bhishma Dev, to be present and to help him remember Krishna at the time when he needs him the most. And Bhagavatam, till now, we are just on the 9th chapter of the first canto. Bhagavatam, till now, has spoken about wonderful characters of a Vaishnava. So many characters have been described, right from the Vaishnava qualities that Narad Muni possesses in the 4th chapter, Ved Vyas, to the qualities of Arjuna in the 7th chapter, Uttara, the prayers offered by Uttara, or even Draupadi, the Vama Swabhav, the compassionate side of Draupadi, and Kunti Devi in the 8th chapter, and now we will see in the 10th, in the 9th chapter, the passing of Bhishma Dev, Sutta Goswami, and of course Lord Krishna, and the pages of Bhagavatam, showcases who is a true Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is a one with such wonderful qualities. And probably many a times we may even miss out one character from this first 9 chapters, and that's the character of Yudhishthir Maharaj. The few verses before, just the 6 verses, speaks about the glorious quality and the character of a Vaishnava like Yudhishthir Maharaj. So the glorification of the Lord is incomplete without the glorification of a devotee, and vice versa. In the 7th chapter, in the 7th canto, the beginning of the 7th canto, Shukdev Goswami says, Sadhu Prishtam Maharaja Hares Charitam Adbhutam Yat Bhagavata Mahatmyam Bhagavad Bhakti Vardhanam. So here, Shukdev Goswami is also endorsing this fact that we cannot truly glorify Supreme Lord completely without glorifying the wonderful qualities and the character of devotee. Yet, Bhagavata Mahatmyam Bhagavad Bhaktir Vardhanam. So when we hear and discuss the glories and the wonderful sketch, life sketch of a devotee, a Vaishnava, that helps us develop Bhagavad Bhakti as well. Sadhavo Rudaya Mayam Sadhunam Rudayatva Mad Anyatena Janati Nayam Naham Tebhyo Managapi. Lord Krishna himself says in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam to Durvasa Muni that Sadhavo Rudaya Mayam, that devotees dwell in my heart and I dwell in the heart of my devotees. Devotees doesn't know anyone except me, and I do not know anyone except devotee. Just like a child who doesn't know anyone except his or her mother, and a mother doesn't think of anyone except for her child. Similarly, a devotee is always conscious of Krishna, and Krishna is conscious of his devotee. Just as the child is mother conscious and the mother is child conscious. So we should not have an iota of doubt whether Krishna will keep his promise or not. And this is what I just thought will speak for a few more moments about the glorious qualities that Yudhishthir Maharaj exhibited. Of course, Bhishma Devs, we can continue to discuss, but I was very much inspired when I heard those few verses which appears at the end of the 8th chapter, just few verses before the verses that we are discussing today. So Yudhishthir Maharaj is the one for whom Lord Krishna actually appeared in this world. As Lord Krishna says, dharma samsar banarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Yudhishthir Maharaj is Dharmaraj. And to establish Dharmaraj as the king of the planet Earth, Lord Krishna actually appeared. Dharmo vivardhati Yudhishthira kirtanena. The scripture explains, one who describes and narrates the pastimes and the glorious qualities of Yudhishthir Maharaj, automatically dharma will grow. Dharmo vivardhati, within the heart of a devotee, the dharma will grow. So, one of the great qualities that Yudhishthir Maharaj possessed, along with all the other Pandava, was, you know, how the Pandavas and the Yudhishthir Maharaj, they were flexible to serve Lord Krishna. They were very, very much malleable in serving Lord Krishna. Srikdeshu Pandushu Jagat Pranatim Cha Vishnu Bhaktim Karoti Nripatish Charanaravindam. Even Bhagavatam says that Snigdeshu Pandushu, the great quality that Yudhishthir Maharaj and all the Pandavas, they possess, Snigdeshu, they were malleable to the will of the Lord. And Yudhishthir Maharaj, he actually changed himself. He evolved himself to actually become more and more malleable and flexible to serve the Supreme Lord to his best capacity. You know, there are two moralities, masculine morality, feminine morality. Masculine morality is required for establishing systems, establishing corporations, establishing strategies in the country. Feminine morality is required for creating love, relationships within family. Both the moralities go hands in hand. Both the morality exist perpetually together. And just as affection and efficiency goes hand in hand, affection requires feminine morality, the feminine side, and efficiency requires a masculine morality. Of course, when I'm saying feminine morality, that has nothing to do with the word female or woman. It's just that everyone has the softer side of one's personality and everyone has a tough side, a rational side of one's personality. So feminine morality is actually the softer side of one's personality, and the masculine morality is the good side, but the tough and the rational side of one's personality. Some people say that Yudhishthir Maharaj was type 4 personality. A type D or a type 4, a very phlegmatic, or in Ayurveda, as they say, kapha prakriti. The people who are having a kapha prakriti, they are very soft, gentle, compassionate. The killer instinct is missing in them. And the person who is having that kapha prakriti, he thinks that if I have to sit, why stand? And if I have to sleep, why sit? And if things are happening, going on very well, then why do we need to have conflicts? Just keep going on. That person likes consistency, doesn't appreciate change much in one's life. So that's a type 4 personality. And some people say that Yudhishthir Maharaj was having that feminine morality more on his side. But in order to serve Krishna, Yudhishthir Maharaj, he went to that extent of serving Krishna the way it is required. Yudhishthir Maharaj has had more faith in Krishna's ability to empower than his own personality type. And many times we think that because of a certain personality type, I cannot do certain service. And yes, to some extent, it's valid. But yes, when we have more faith in Krishna's ability, then Krishna can make us do wonders and miracles beyond our imagination, beyond our comprehension. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Naham vipro nachanarapati nabhi vaishyona shudro. Gopir bhaturpadakamalayor dasa 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 anudasa. Someone who is having this mentality, this mindset that yes, I am no one. But the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, then Lord will empower that personality more than just a person who is a Brahmana type or who is a Kshatriya type or who is a Vaishya type. So people say that yes, no, Yudhishthir Maharaj, he was that particular type of personality. But no, he had more faith, as I said before. And no, although he was peace loving, but no, in fact, he is willing to even take up the fight. And the few verses before, no, we saw how that it was very painful for him. It was truly very painful for Yudhishthir Maharaj to take up, no, to do even Rajasuya sacrifice. Because Rajasuya sacrifice involved, no, probably domination over other kings of the world. And in order to prove your superiority, your supremacy, you have to fight and defeat them. So Yudhishthir Maharaj was actually very reluctant initially. But then what he decided to write a letter to Krishna who was in Dwarka. Yudhishthir Maharaj wrote a very beautiful letter to Krishna saying that if I ask my people who loves me, then my people will side me. That means I don't want a war. I don't want a Rajasuya sacrifice. So Narad Muni actually told Yudhishthir Maharaj that your father is in Pitruloka, so you need to perform Rajasuya sacrifice. So Yudhishthir Maharaj said, okay, Rajasuya sacrifice can be performed. But when he heard what it takes to perform a Rajasuya sacrifice, he was quite reluctant. So he wrote a letter to Krishna asking his viewpoint. So he said that Krishna, if I take my own decision, probably I will not agree to perform Rajasuya sacrifice. And if I ask my critics, you know, people who criticize me, then they will anyways go against me. So you are a neutral party, so I am asking you to truly guide me if I should perform Rajasuya sacrifice or no. And that's when Krishna wrote back to him that yes, you must perform Rajasuya sacrifice. Of course, the details, there's a lot that follows. But finally, Yudhishthir Maharaj goes ahead for Rajasuya sacrifice. So Yudhishthir Maharaj, no, in order to serve Krishna the way Krishna wants him to serve, Yudhishthir Maharaj is willing to bend himself, become more and more flexible. You know, people in this world say that, just having peace is enough. No, as I said, no, peace cannot exist without war. If someone is peace loving, but war has to happen. China, the country of China, in order to make the entire country peaceful, so that everyone gets their own share, China ended up aborting 40 crores of children within the womb. So they were thinking that it will ensure peace. But how can you get peace without actually having a war as well, side by side? Is this not violence, killing children in the womb? So, both go hand in hand. Some people say that India is the land where Buddha and Mahavir were born. Yes, definitely. Now, people say that this is the land of Buddha and Mahavir. But no one, or hardly or seldom people say that this is the land of Arjuna, Ram and Krishna. So, is this a right narrative? Is it just right to say that we just need personalities like Buddha and Mahavir and not Ram and Krishna or Arjuna? We need both. We need Ram and Krishna, and we need Buddha, personalities like Buddha and Mahavir as well. We do appreciate the contribution made by such personalities in the society, but to give credit to only one and not appreciate the credit, not appreciate the efforts made by personalities like Arjuna, probably, no, that would be very much biased. So, yes, no doubt. We need personality like Bhimsen, and we need personality like Yudhishthir Maharaj. And that feminine side, that feminine morality is very much needed for one's spiritual growth, no doubt. We need those qualities for our spiritual growth. But at the social level, if we just have the feminine morality not being given prominent, then that will lead to further violence. When King Ashoka accepted Buddhism, that means he even accepted the teachings of Lord Buddha. That means he advocated non-violence. And when that non-violence was made a rule in the entire royal kingdom, then that created a problem. Where the surgeons who were performing surgery, based on the Sushruta Samhita in Ayurveda, the surgeons were told to stop performing surgery. So when you give too much prominence to one and neglect the other, then that will also have its own repercussions and consequences. And so these people, they ended up, in the kingdom of King Ashoka, these people, they ended up becoming more of a philosopher than the practical people who live in this world. So when we go to extremes, then extreme leads to further more violence. Extreme leads to fanaticism. So one extreme is no bloodshed, no violence, no hatred. And yes, it's good. But then we just become like Buddha. On the other hand, when we simply advocate killing, violence, or bloodshed, then we become terrorists, or we become prototype of personalities like Hitler and Stalin. But we need the integration of both. And Lord Krishna and Lord Ram, or Arjuna, they are the one who help balanced. Lord Krishna even acted as a Shanti Dut. It was not that Lord wanted unnecessary violence. So yes, violence is not encouraged, but where there is a need, Lord Krishna acted as a Shanti Dut. And at the same time, Lord Krishna, being an expert surgeon, made Arjuna an instrument to uproot and to operate the malignant tumor that was growing in the society in the form of evil elements like Duryodhan and Dushasan. So idealism without practicality is as brutal as terrorism. As one senior devotee commented this. Idealism without practicality is as brutal as terrorism. And fact of the matter is, we are living in the world where there are people like Stalin, where there are people like Hitler. So if we just promote only non-violence, then we will end up creating more violence. And people like Jesus, people like Buddha, people like Gandhi will keep becoming martyrs, and we will create more martyrs. So Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us. Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us to become Buddha within and an Arjuna without. And that's the ideal king like Parikshit Maharaj, like Yudhishthir Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj was not just Raja. He was not just Rishi, but he was a combination of both, Rajarshi. A Raja has to be Arjuna without, and as Rishi, he has to be Buddha within. And when we strike this balance, that's when the society functions harmoniously. Hanumanji is one more example. Hanumanji is an example, a perfect example of devotion and aggression. Hanumanji actually is a blend of Lord Ram's bhakti and shakti. When Hanumanji is holding folding his hand, that means he is offering his submission unto Lord Ram. And when that mace that Hanumanji is holding within his folded hands, that represents, you know, aggression. So Hanumanji pleased Lord Ram by his submission and by his devotion. So Lord Ram's heart was pleased by Hanumanji's submission. But that same Hanumanji striked terror, you know, in the hearts of Lord Ram's enemy. So yes, aggression may be required to implement the laws of God in society. Srila Prabhupada was peaceful within, but when the time came to serve his disciples, time came for him to serve the Lord, Prabhupada actually became like Narasimha Dev. And he fought against Mr. N, you know, to get the property of, you know, Juhu. And today we have a grand temple. Had it not been for Prabhupada taking that role of Arjuna without, probably we would have missed out on having this grand temple. So one who is not, no, one who is not Buddha within, just a warrior within and without, then that will give rise to one extreme where a person ends up becoming a prototype of Hitler. And when someone is just a Buddha within and a Buddha without, that will give rise to non-heroic leaders in society. But as we see in the case of Yudhishthir Maharaj, he is, you know, evolving himself, and he is, you know, doing whatever is needed to serve Lord Krishna, to establish dharma on this planet Earth. So yes, we need Krishna and Ram, and we need personalities like Buddha and Mahavir as well. And as I said, living a life of extreme is very easy. But living a life of balance is very, very difficult in this world. Just living in this world and getting attached is very easy. Just giving up everything and saying, I have no issues, no problem, that is also very easy. But living in this world and not being of this world is very, very difficult. And that's what yoga is all about. Where yoga is all about striking a balance in one's life. Yoga is not just about balancing physical postures. Yoga is also about balancing the mental thoughts, which, you know, takes shapes like postures. A balanced physical and a mental posture will lead to stability in one's life, which is so much required for the wholesome growth of one's personality. And this is what Krishna is advocating in Bhagavad Gita, neither going to either of the extremes. And one who can strike a balance between the social, the physical, the familial and the emotional and the spiritual aspect, that person actually becomes as good as Arjuna. So Yudhishthir Maharaj, he reconciled the Buddha within and the Arjuna without. And there are various incidents that actually Yudhishthir Maharaj, something was not expected of Yudhishthir Maharaj, but Yudhishthir Maharaj actually went out of his way to serve Lord Krishna. So, you know, when Pandavas got to know that Duryodhan has been kidnapped by the Gandharvas, at that point of time, Yudhishthir Maharaj approached Bhimsen, and he told Bhimsen that you go and rescue Duryodhan. Bhimsen said that what we could not do for so many years, these Gandharvas have done. So be happy. Let's be happy with whatever has happened to Duryodhan. But Yudhishthir Maharaj said that no, within we may be just 5, but for outsiders we are 105. And more than that, Bhimsen did not agree to Yudhishthir Maharaj's theory. Then Yudhishthir Maharaj said that, you know Bhim, the greatest pain that you can cause to Duryodhan is by being compassionate to him. No? More you will try to be kind to him, more it will hurt him. Why? Because he will think, how can my enemy protect me? How can I take help from my enemy? So when Bhimsen heard this, Bhimsen, this is amazing. I'm right now going and protecting and saving, no, Duryodhan. So it was actually Yudhishthir Maharaj, no, who used his compassionate side, but also used that masculine morality, no, which probably is not heard and not spoken about. No, Yudhishthir Maharaj went out of his way. He actually gave up his reputation of being called as Satyavan. No, he never spoke a lie. But in order to serve Krishna, it must have been very painful to Yudhishthir Maharaj. And that too, to speak lie in front of his gurus, that was far more painful. That is far more difficult. But then Yudhishthir Maharaj went out of his way to serve Lord Krishna. You know, people say that it was Shikhandi who was responsible for the death of Bhishma Dev. But actually it was Yudhishthir Maharaj. Why? Because when Yudhishthir Maharaj, before the war began, Yudhishthir Maharaj went to take the blessings of Bhishma, Drona, Kripa and Shalya. And he approached Bhishma Dev and he told bluntly in front of Bhishma Dev, said, it is impossible for us to win if you are there. So you tell us, how can we defeat you? Only you can tell us, how can we defeat you? Bhishma Dev said, when the right time comes, I will definitely tell you. So on the 9th day, when Bhishma Dev was really fighting left, right, center and killing all the Pandavas' army, and even Arjuna was becoming very weak when it came to fighting in front of Bhishma Dev. No, Yudhishthir Maharaj who actually went and told Bhishma Dev that it seems impossible. And at that point of time, Bhishma Dev reveals the secret that I will not fight in front of a woman. Why? Because you can never win only. No. So Bhishma Dev said, I cannot fight. No, a couple, husband and wife, were fighting together for a long time. And then wife said, okay, stop it. Let's come to samjhota. Aadha aap, aadha main. Husband said, what? What samjhota? Wife said, aap maafi maang lijiye, main aapko maaf kar dungi. That's it. No? So, one can never win. That's what Bhishma Dev is telling. So, Bhishma Dev reveals this secret that to Yudhishthir Maharaj. And he says that if a woman comes in front of me, I will not fight. Not only woman, if someone who resembles a woman, if someone who is a woman in the past life, someone who has the name of a woman, I will not fight. And that's when, Shikhandi was brought in front of Bhishma Dev. And, it was Yudhishthir Maharaj who at the back end, who actually, did his part in trying to serve the mission of Lord Krishna. So yes, time is up. Yudhishthir Maharaj and all the Pandavas, know, because they were willing to bend and become flexible, malleable, that's why, you know, Lord Krishna actually made them the instrument in order to establish Dharma, this planet Earth. And it was because of the Pandavas family that we have Bhagavad Gita with us. And it's because of the Pandavas family that we have Srimad Bhagavatam. And the glorious characters of each and every personality actually helps us to practice bhakti in our life based on the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj is actually one of the remote causes for we practicing bhakti today. So I'll end here. Thank you all very much for your kind patience and hearing. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Samaveda Gaur Bhakta.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram.